Hey Fred, I'm Micah McCurry, this is Bible Tract Echoes, and with me in studio, in my office actually, is Todd Lofbaum, and you've been a part of this ministry for over 4 years now. It's crazy to think that we're coming up on our fifth year anniversary, if you want to call it that, about November timeframe of 2019. And it's crazy to think it'll be soon, 4.5 years. But Brother Todd, you've been a friend to me, a mentor, an investor in me for many years. We could get into some of those fun discussions at some point, or maybe not, because not all of them are flattering for yours truly. But in all seriousness, you've been a huge part of this ministry. You handle so many different, when I say small, I mean the things that can so easily get overlooked as we're looking at a ministry, what's going on, but little things like checking the mail and making sure orders and things get input in the system, and then also rolling with us changing the system constantly and proving things and all that type of stuff. But I mean, just relearning things before we were live and on the mic, Brother Cameron said, the producer gentleman who's helping us out with this. I guess I have to refer to Brother Cameron behind. We'll be interviewing Hugh later on this week. Brother Cameron, he doesn't have a microphone, so I can say anything I want about him right now. But he was asking Brother Todd about radio and some different things and asking about his familiarity. And Brother Todd, you said, you're a little more savvy with technology than you let on. Doesn't mean you enjoy it.
Right.
But anyway, introduce yourself, your family, your kids, to folks that are listening.
Yeah, my name is Todd, and I got saved in 1998, around August of 1998. And a few days later, I met who is now my wife, Joanna. We've been married for almost 26 years. Amen. Here in a few weeks. And we have 4 children: Amy, who graduated from Providence Baptist College, Caitlin, Bruno, and then they're both at college, and then Rebecca graduates here in about 8 weeks.
Amen. And just the other night, working with Rebecca on a song she's going to sing for a school competition and some different things, and I'm telling her she thinks she's only going to sing it for that. I'm telling her she's going to sing it for on a Sunday, some one of these days at church. But good family. Brother Todd, you can tell a lot about someone by their kids. And we've had these discussions before, but I'm blessed to be able to observe a mentor, but an example of how to do some things right with your kids. And of course, jury's still out on everyone. And in your eldest, we won't ask a lady her age, so we won't ask you to tell us Amy's, but just graduated from college not that long ago. And so yes, the years ahead and all those types of things, but I've appreciated being able to see that. And then also your investment in my kids and their friendship with you. And Brother Todd, I don't know if it's just because you bribe them or what it is, but either way, they like you. Brother Todd, you came to this ministry, as with Brother Austin, just a few months before I got here. I couldn't start till January 1st of 2020. Had some commitments where I was an associate pastor. And what was it like walking in here, drinking from a fire hose, learning things at a rapid rate during the pretty quick changeover? I mean, my predecessor, Mark Smith, his wife, Nancy, they'd been here for like 15 years. So plenty of time to kind of get into a groove, figure some things out. And you guys had to learn that about, 2 weeks or thereabouts? What were your initial impressions of the ministry?
Yeah, I think when we came in, Brother Smith was leaving right around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah,
so we had about 2, maybe 3 weeks,
sure,
at the most to learn, you know, how the system ran. And it was just amazing that for so many years, the ministry was able to provide free tracts to people.
Amen.
And of course, you know, that's not free. That is on the backs of donors who,
right,
want to see the gospel spread around the world.
Amen.
But I think that was the thing that stuck out the most was, you know, we're sending out thousands of tracts every day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, they're getting them, they're sharing them. We get plenty of salvations notices back, but how many people are saved that, you know, we're going to get to heaven?
Absolutely.
From a tract that we mailed and...
Well, looking at the statistics, I realized in our latest newsletter, we didn't really do it. I'm just thinking through it live on the air for you folks. We need to make sure a kind of a year in review thing we talked about last year. So we had over 600 people let us know they accepted Christ last year.
Correct.
And that's absolutely staggering. You realize, yes, we put out 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 million tracts in a year, but that's an easy number to say. It rolls right off the tongue and it sounds impressive until you realize somebody had to box up all those tracts. somebody had to make sure a pallet got put together. Somebody has to make sure we have enough inventory so when tracks run out, we can get them in and send them out some more. About how many packages on a normal day, on like a Monday through Friday type thing, how many packages are you normally boxing up on a, if it was a little bit of a rush or something going into Easter or things like that as we are now?
Yeah, I would say probably an average of 20 a day.
20 a day. So you're talking about 100 a week, thereabouts. We've been incredibly blessed with people that use our tracks. Our tracks don't do anyone any good on the shelves of our warehouse. You also, not just do you handle some of the mail, the mail incoming and outgoing, and then deposits and things like that. It's a little minutia of ministry, but it's kind of just businessy type things you have to do to keep a ministry going forward. The lights don't just keep themselves on. Their bills have to be paid and all that. But you also, Lord allowed you, kind of a burden of your heart. We've also seen some forays into prison ministry as well, and seeing God bless that way. Talk to people that may be unfamiliar. It's been a while, to my chagrin, that I've talked about the prison ministry. Tell people about how that kind of started for you and how the Lord's blessed here at BTI.
Well, one day I noticed inmates ordering tracks, and you know, we were sending them tracks. Right. And so I came to you and said, hey, what if I start writing these guys? I have had a heart for prison ministry. I fell off a roof in 2015, busted up my knees and feet. So I can't go out and soul winning and do the things I can some, but not like I used to. But I've always had a heart for prison ministry. So we started writing them. Well, then I came across the website. Well, the first few that we started writing, the first guy wrote back and said he had contacted 20 churches or 28.
It was 25 or 26.
Yeah, in the area that he was incarcerated at. And not one of those even wrote him back, right, which is a
and he wasn't asking for money.
No,
he was asking.
He just wanted
for
a friend,
and someone, a spiritual friend is what he was looking for. He wasn't just looking for a pen pal. He was looking for someone to be a friend biblically.
Correct. So you see the need there. So then I found a website where inmates are asking for people to write them, mm-hmm. and we've sent out probably 2,000 letters with tracks in it, telling them this is how you know for sure you go to heaven when you die. And we've seen, I think, probably close to 100 inmates saved that have written us back. And it's just grown. We're almost a 400 or 500, I can't remember off the top of my head, that we've at least sent one discipleship study to. Right.
And many of them, not all of them, but many of them keep up with it. And they're on their 15th, 16th, 17th different discipleship and mailing it by correspondence. And to see how God's using you in... If we can say it this way, you can't do everything you used to do physically, but you looked for a way to make an investment in people. And how many prisoners have been encouraged? And we could run down the list of some of these people. And for instance, people that have asked us to witness to their family and friends outside of prison. That talk to us about that for a moment.
Yeah, well, we had one guy who asked, he actually took the tracks that we mailed him and mailed them to his uncle. Mm-hmm. His uncle wrote in and said he got saved. Well, his uncle had cancer and died a few weeks later.
Wow.
So just because of one letter, that man had weeks before he went into eternity.
And so some of our donors have given to allow that to go forward.
Correct.
And,
yeah, it costs about $1 a letter.
Yeah.
So for $10, you could sponsor 10 inmates.
And in that letter, of course, it's got gospel tracts. It's got a discipleship, the first in the discipleship set, talking about salvation, the most important thing to start off with, has a letter. And it's an opportunity. For a lot of these guys, it's a lifeline. I mean, to think about what it's like to be, and specifically for some of these people, you've noticed this both personally and then you've observed it for other folks. There are many family members that, because of difficulties and discord and friction, they are not in a position mentally or spiritually to reach out to some of their family, incarcerated family members. And so you're able to do that kind of on their behalf because, to be frankly, because you haven't been hurt by them.
Right.
And so you're able to help them.
Right. And at the end of the day, they're in there for a reason.
Right. Sure.
Very few are in there that are innocent. There are some, but that doesn't mean God doesn't love their soul. Absolutely. I mean, he said he never told us to go to Beverly Hills and preach to the rich people.
Right.
But he did on multiple occasions say, you know, go to the prisons.
Right. Absolutely.
And not saying we should neglect.
No. My point is, he preached the Pharisees and the rich people, but at the same time, but there's so but much
don't
the more.
Forget the low. Yeah,
the highways and the byways compel them to come in. And oftentimes the people that are at their lowest are the ones that.
They're ready.
Right. So we have about 2 minutes left, brother. Oh. 2-3 minutes or so. If there is one thing that you wanted to convey to folks that are listening that maybe they don't see the behind the scenes of BTI. I talk about different things, but I can't touch on every aspect all the time. What is something that you would want to communicate to listeners that maybe they wouldn't naturally know about this ministry?
Well, I think this sums it up. James Dunkley is the man who our tract, Ready to Die,
yes,
is written about. Mm-hmm. And you and I spoke to his dad about 2 years ago. And at the end of that conversation, we were trying to find out exactly how many of those tracts that we had sent out. James Dunkley was killed in action, military man saved, and his dad wrote a tract for about his son.
Yeah.
But he summed it up with this. You know, we told him there was probably at least 500,000, 350,000 at least.
Yes.
We didn't know the exact numbers. And his dad made the statement that I'll never forget. He said, he started crying. He said, my prayer was that through my son's death, people would live, would find Jesus Christ and live in eternity. Mm-hmm. And I think that sums up the ministry.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about, that people find eternal life.
Amen.
From a Bible tract.
And that's precisely why this ministry exists. Paul Levine, 85 years ago, it's crazy to say that, a full lifetime ago, 1938, started this ministry with the leading of God. And then we reap the benefits now in this generation of those type of stories. Going to talk about James Dunkley, who was in the glimmer in his father's eye in 1938. Right. His father might not have been alive in 1938. And then to see what God is doing all these years later, and that's just one title. And by the way, it's not just a military track. It's a great track for anybody. If you are not ready to die, you need that gospel track and get it. But Brother Todd, thank you so much for your investment in the ministry. Thank you for communicating to the folks. But those of you that are listening at home, I'd encourage you, if you don't use gospel tracks, then start. Maybe you know a nephew. Maybe you have a grandson. Maybe you have an uncle that's incarcerated. And you say, hey, we've got some strain. Honestly, it would be hard for me to communicate with them. We'd love for you to write in and ask Brother Todd to do so. We'd be privileged to do that on your behalf, or with you even, be another lifeline, another hook in the water to lead people to Christ. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, Brother Todd. Thanks so much for joining us today. Greatly appreciate it. I'd ask you, if you have any questions, text me directly, would you? Text me at 309-316-7240. Again, that's 309-316-7240. Have a great day for God's glory. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracts, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.